Blog Talk Radio.
Let the healing ring in.
Intended to take the place of orthodox medicine, but to work in conjunction with it. Therefore, if you need to seek medical advice, we advise that you do so. By participating in the Blog Talk Gold Ring Healing Fountain radio show, you are implying that you give permission to receive healing from Source, the universe, all that is, God, or whatever name you call the Supreme Being, by whichever vibration it comes on. For example, Eastern energies facilitate Reiki, etc. Or Western therapies may utilize the Christ angelic energies. This program is non-denominational, so the healing modality will vary depending on the guest speaker. All healing comes from the same source. It may just come on a different vibration, rather like tuning in to a different radio station. We ask that you join us with an open heart and mind, with a clear head, i.e. not under the influence of drink or recreational drugs.
Everyone who lives on this earth has a mission to do.
All our healers are working from a place of love and light, with the highest good of mankind and Mother Earth uppermost in heart, thought, and deed. Please relax and enjoy this co-creation. This is your time. We are in the time of now.
Angels are standing in line. They help me and you. So trust what you feel in your heart. And you'll never lose. Awaken my soul. Come into the light. Awaken my spirit. Like a candle shine bright. Awaken my
Welcome to another session of the Healing Fountain Show. This is Jan Christie speaking to you from the United Kingdom. And I'm going to get the right teeth in, Gary. These are the dogs. We're going to connect right now with Gary over there in the United States, who's grounding the energy there. And he's over there upstate New York. Isn't that right, Gary?
That's right, Jan. And hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Healing Fountain, and we have a very special guest this week. Our very own Nancy Waite will be with us, and it's good to be here.
Yeah, it's great. And Nancy is a former actress of stage and screen in the United Kingdom. Over here she was in London, and she's also an artist and author of the memoir The Nancy Who Drew. And she hosts radio shows as well, Dancing in the Shift. You've got to be careful how you say that, especially with the wrong teeth in. And she is what she likes to call a fourth dimensional navigator. And she's also a writing coach and editor. And in addition to that, would you believe, she's also a very talented painter, very talented artist and speaker. And so today she's going to tell us how to... we can make the world into our own personal tarot deck of divination, and we read the signs and symbols through seeing, perceiving, feeling, hearing, knowing our frequency level, our vibratory range, our resonance, and expanded self-awareness. And the willingness to be open is the key. And I'm really looking forward to this show because she's such a talented lady. It's a real pleasure to have her back on the show.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it as well. And it's some very powerful insights she was talking about, and I'm eager to hear them.
Me too. Anyway, we're going to, by special request from Nancy, open up with a Miss Magical song, apart from the one we did a little bit earlier, Let the Healing Begin. And this one's called A Million Blessings.
Blessings, love, abundance, joy, bliss, harmony, wonderment, artistry, magic.
Been waiting for
thank you to Miss Magical for that magical song.
I always love that one.
Yeah, it's great, that one. Really good.
Yes.
And it's an especially appropriate one tonight, or today, because it's only daytime still there in the United States, isn't it? It's pitch black here, so I want to say night all the time. Sorry about that.
So, that's okay. It's night here, too.
Is it dark?
It's dark here, yeah.
Oh, is it?
It's
all
probably,
night?
Yeah, it's still light in other areas farther west, but here in the East Coast, it's dark anyway.
All right. Oh, well. So I feel quite at home then. Right. So we're going to post a link in the chat room before we bring our lovely guests on. And this is for our video. So we want everybody to click on the link, pull up your players and pause them. And then we will bring our lovely guest, Nancy, on to speak to us. Because I'm dying to hear about these signs and symbols.
Yes, I'm eager to hear it as well. Go ahead and click the link, everyone. Pause the player, mute the sound, and when you've done that, send up a heart in the chat room to let us know you're ready, and we'll bring Nancy on.
And we've got some lovely guests in the chat room as well.
Yes.
And absolutely. We've got the heart of Bobby, Rob. He's going to be coming on the show as soon as we can get him on, because he's just come back from Mount Shasta, or he's still there, one or the other. And we're dying to hear all about that, especially about the 11/11 celebrations over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you there, Nancy?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome back.
Hello. Hi, thank you. It's wonderful to be back with you.
It's great to have you, Nancy. It's always a pleasure.
And I have to apologize publicly for my faux pas last week of not remembering that you were on with us back in February. You and I did a radio.
Well,
feeling.
I know. It seems like ages ago.
It was, yeah. Everything was like the other day for me, so, you know, but Weaver.
Oh.
Mr. Wounded and Ms. Healer, and it was a lovely play, and I love that. And that was the second radio play I've done with you, and they're just wonderful.
Right.
Anyway, I just wanted to apologize for that.
She's
welcome
such
back.
A talented writer. Yes, it was a great play. I really enjoyed that when you were on there, both of you doing the play last time. It was really good. And you've got some wonderful things to share with us today, don't you, Nancy?
I hope so. I want to talk about keying into signs and symbols. So I've written a bunch of things here, so I'll just plunge in, shall I?
Dive in.
Okay. All right. How can you make the world into your own personal tarot deck of divination? I use the term tarot cards because I'm a visual artist and the cards are full of pictures. But tuning in is just as much to do with hearing as it is with seeing. It's about seeing and perceiving and feeling and hearing. It's about your frequency level, your vibratory range, your need for higher or deeper perception. And it's also about your availability for these things. How willing are you? How much are you willing to surrender? How much are you willing to give up control? And last but not least, it's about resonance. What are you resonating with at this point in time? Because whatever that quality is, that is what you will what will draw you and attract you. So we must be aware of our resonance, both what we are giving off and what is coming to us. Not the events themselves necessarily, more the quality of the events, how they make us feel, what they bring up, and so on. And then we respond to what comes up for us. We have a reaction. We might have questions. What did he or she mean when they said that? Should I or shouldn't I? Astrology, for instance, is full of symbols. Some people go by them totally and learn to decipher the meaning of signs and symbols and dates and numbers. It's a tool, like tarot cards are a tool, and runes, and what have you. Whatever works for us, right? But I'm talking about the wealth of knowledge inside us that our intuition already knows, if only we could access it. Some people might call it being psychic, and it is that. We are all psychic. It's just more developed in some people than others. So the others go to psychics to find out information that they are unable to access themselves, or information or hunches they want reassurance for. It's whatever works. However, there is this thing called sovereignty, being a sovereign individual. It's a state of being we all have to achieve at some point, if not in this life, then the next. But why not make it this life? Why not do it now? So what would that entail? The methods are different for different people. But what they all have in common, these methods, that is that the person is an expert in something, something they know backwards and forwards and sideways and up and down and through and through. It could be something as simple as reading tea leaves or reading palms, both of which are prime examples of being able to read signs or symbols, or just being able to read the signals your cat is giving you or your dog. A signal is another kind of sign. Have you noticed how some mothers don't seem to be connected to their own babies and children? How they don't seem to be able to read the signals the child is giving them? I've seen that, and there's like a disconnect, and that disconnect acts like a wall, a barrier between these two. It's very disturbing to witness one of these situations. So the parent gives the child an electronic game or some gadget to distract them with, and nothing is solved. But back to us, back to the tarot cards. I mention them because I have tried to learn the meanings of the cards at various times in my life, but it doesn't stick. I've read lots of books about them and found the information fascinating. I have a collection of maybe 6 or 7 different tarot decks myself, but I never use them. I think they can be and are very useful for psychics and for turning in to your psychic abilities, using them as a tool. But for me, I have used drawing and painting as tools and as materials to get my point across, but also to see what my psyche is trying to show me, what my subconscious is trying to show me. And what they've shown me most of all is how the world is alive with meaning. To give you an example, because I think sometimes hearing someone, how somebody else has used their own signs and symbols, might clue us in, you know. So maybe I'm going to read you a little story about signs that I followed, just to give you an example of how it works with me. This is a story about how I was led, where I was led to, and what was leading me there. Signs. I followed the signs, the symbols, the images that I created so that I could continue to create my destiny. I followed the signs. This story begins in the mid-1980s when I was living in Brooklyn in a different part than where I am now, Crown Heights, where I was doing a lot of paintings from what I called my imagination, but they were really intuitive paintings. I'd get an idea and just let it take me wherever it wanted, intuitively. Sort of like following a thought I wasn't aware I was thinking until I saw it, because it didn't come from my thinking. Sometimes the images wouldn't reveal their entire meaning to me until years later, or maybe it was only that my ability to decipher them increased with time. I was in what I might call the middle stage of my exploration through painting. It was not yet a decade since my awakening to the inner world, and I had been painting for about 5 years at that time, painting this mysterious inner plane as well as the outer, painting as if it was some kind of magical truth serum, because whatever I did, whether it was from life or from my mind, my brush never lied. It seemed, in fact, to have a will of its own, taking me to places it wanted me to see and study, driving me on, driving me further on this journey I had already dubbed Journey to the Deep. I often worked in a series, one picture feeding off another, taking it to the next level or place in my mind, like a sentence continuing on from the one before, except that it was a pictorial language. One of my symbols was a little bird, a yellow bird. I had a canary as a child. The canary died in my hand. Now in my 30s, I bought another canary, and he died too, much too soon, a symbol of hope that died. Maybe I painted him to resurrect his spirit. I painted him much bigger than he was, I think to show the big meaning and how much it still mattered, how much hope mattered, and the little bird I hoped would sing to me. I saw birds as messengers, like with the saying, a little bird told me. What was my little bird telling me? After he flew or seemed to fly into one painting, landing on the forearm of a figure, I decided to give him a canvas all to himself, make him the star of the show, the focal point, the questing symbol, the homing pigeon come with a message, because I had a new question. Paintings answered questions I didn't even know I was asking, like, what would I see now? This is the story, a story of those days when I painted. In those days, I had clients for building portraits, also known as renderings. Many were repeat customers, especially this one client, a man I felt a psychic connection with. But this isn't about him. It's about his grandfather, a grandfather who died. I don't know when. This is about learning the grandfather's name. When I was at the office of the brother of the client I felt a strange connection to. We must have been discussing a new commission. I remember looking around the room and noticing a ship in a bottle. I picked it up and was admiring it, this marvelously crafted ship in a bottle. The brother said the bottle had belonged to his grandfather, Morad. Morad, I repeated. What an unusual sounding name, like more and add, or add more, as if it was a direction of some kind. I looked the name up when I got home. Luckily, I had a Hebrew dictionary handy, as there was no Google in those days. So I learned that Morad meant slope in English. Then, I don't remember the exact progression, as it was so many years ago, but I decided to do a small oil painting of a slope, or the side of a mountain, and put my little yellow bird in the painting. A mountain, which looked more like a triangle with one side against the edge of the canvas, with the sun rising, or maybe it was setting, behind. On the other side was a large bouquet of roses, a beautiful bouquet, just sort of hanging there in the sky across from the mountain, symbolizing love. I painted the bird in the foreground. He was perched on a branch overlooking the mountain, above the sea, with this slope and the roses behind him. Then I hung the picture on the wall or put it aside somewhere to dry. It was an odd picture, really. But this is not the end of the story. No, the story doesn't end there, because the receptionist who worked for the client I felt a connection with came to my studio and posed for me. We had become friendly during my visits to the office, the other office, not the one where there was a ship in a bottle. And I said, why don't you come over and pose for me sometime? So she did. I asked her to wear this old blue gown of mine and gave her a chair to recline in. I continued to work on the picture long after she left, as something about her or the pose, combined with my feeling of connection to her boss, was immensely stimulating to my mind. Eventually, I don't remember how long it took, I ended up with a picture of a young woman daydreaming before a large window. The light outside was rose-colored light, and a tree was growing right through the window. It was a picture of outside coming in, where this woman lay dreaming in a blue gown. But that wasn't the end of it. I wasn't finished yet. For then I cut up the canvas of the bird and the slope, cut it up. I removed it from the stretchers and cut the bird on its branch and sewed it onto this new painting, sewed it with a needle and thread. I sewed the water on too, the sea that was in the foreground of the painting of the bird and the slope and the sunset and the roses. And I sewed the pieces onto this new painting of the woman dreaming in a blue dress, dreaming of a bird on a branch. The mountain or the slope was gone, but now so many other things tilted and sloped, like the tree and like the woman's knee and her hair sloping down the back of the chair where she lay. Fast forward 3 years. 3 years have gone by. I have moved from Crown Heights into Manhattan again. I live on the second floor with a view of the street where there are parking signs. Not having a car myself, I don't much notice no parking signs. But one day I am looking out my window and notice the no parking sign across the street because it's different. They have changed the sign. There is now a P, a prominent P, at the top in the middle, and it has a slash through it, the kind of slash that means you're not supposed to do it. The slash was actually a broom handle, a broom signifying street sweeping would happen on such and such a day and time. So no parking, please. I thought that was very interesting, very noteworthy, that P for parking now meant don't park. So P for park was in my mind, in my consciousness, in a way that it had not been before because of this new kind of sign. And then, wouldn't you know, later that same year, I met a man, and we moved back to Brooklyn. First we lived in B for Borham Hill, then we moved to C for Carroll Gardens, and then we moved to P for Park Slope. It did not ring a bell, not a one, not even the tiniest ding went off. There I was, living right at the top of the slope by the park, in a place called Park Slope, with no memory of little birds and ships in a bottle, no memory of messages, and looking for answers, and grandfathers named Morad, which means slope in English. No memory of a client I felt a connection with on some deep level I hardly understood. All this while I was living on a street with cars parked on a slope, with no memory of once painting a bird and a slope and a dreaming girl with lots of things tilting in the picture. That is, I didn't remember until I too began to tilt, tilting too far to one side, the intuitive side, shifting too much into my imagination, forgetting about, quote, the real world, tilting to the side of my dream life, getting them mixed up, my dream life and the real life, getting unbalanced in this shift or this tilt in my house on a slope, tilting down towards the river, on a street where rainwater ran down to the corner drain, never collecting in puddles at all. But then, at some point, I began to add things together. More and more things added together. More add. Shifting and shifting them round in my mind. Park on the slope and no parking signs for cars parked on this tilt. I put it all together. I added things up. I remembered as a child going to the playground and playing on the seesaw, now tilting up, now tilting down, sometimes balancing momentarily in midair, but mostly tilting, mostly shifting up and down. And that's the lesson and the story and the reason I'm telling you this story, because we each have a fulcrum, a balancing point from where we can shift. Once we find that point, it doesn't matter if we're up or down, because we will keep passing the middle, finding our balance, our new balance in the shift. Staying on the slope is good. Parking on the slope is good. Park Slope happens to be where I live, but it's a metaphor too, a sign, a symbol, a place I was led to by a little bird, by a message in a bottle that belonged to someone's grandfather named Morad. And the bouquet of roses I painted on the canvas opposite the slope, are you wondering about them? What they signified? I cut them up, too, and put them on another painting full of other symbols, and that's another story. But it doesn't matter where I put the roses, because they came with me to Park Slope. The symbol of love came with me to Park Slope, where I had the baby boy a few months after my arrival on the slope. Gee, you're saying, that's your strategy? Sure, sure it is. 7 years later, 7 years after I heard Morad meant slope, I had a baby on the slope. Gee whiz. G is the seventh letter of the alphabet. And P for park, that represents a 7 too. I could go on adding more, but let's stop here with the roses and the baby boy and the joy. I'm still there. I'm still here in Park Slope, 20 years on. The baby boy grew up and went away to college, and I'm still here, parked, it seems, for good, on the slope.
Oh, that's amazing, Nancy.
Oh, do you like it?
That was lovely. It showed your development, didn't it? Your spiritual development was depicted in pictures that you drew before you actually got to that point. They were very prophetic, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
Yes. I have one word to describe it all. Wow. love
what a story that. Brilliant.
Well, yes.
What my intention here is to take us into the higher fourth dimension and of course the fifth dimension or the fifth initiation, whatever it is. There are so many different meanings, you know, and definitions. But what we're doing is we're going into a world of symbols and meaning. That's the higher dimension.
Yeah.
That's a level. That's a level. It's many things. And that's one
thing
it is. Yeah.
It's beautiful, that's what it is.
That was just amazing.
Yes.
And the fact that you'd forgotten about some of the things that you'd painted and drawn, and then years later you remembered. Well, in fact, loads of things like that have happened to me over the years,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look back in retrospect, you can see your journey. And in fact, I can see my journey in the songs that I've written over the years. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why it's so good to write things down and keep a journal or, make little sketches just to show where you're at. Because you can reflect on them. And when you put them outside of yourself on a piece of paper or a canvas or a song, it takes them to another, it takes you to another level. It with the symbols, with the images, with the thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, and spiritual things are always symbolic, yeah, very symbolic and very personal,
right.
And that they speak to you through symbols, through the symbolism. And our role is what we define it to be, and it's up to us to decipher the symbols and the signs as we go in our reality. And sometimes we don't process things until we've lived life for a while, and then wake up to it or grow into it or whatever. That's been part of my journey too, especially from the Native American teachings, because it's always very symbolic.
Yes.
A lot of times I didn't get it until after I'd processed it for a while. So
uh-huh.
I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and also your painting and creativity is very therapeutic, isn't it?
It is.
Oh yeah.
But when we're young, we have to find ourselves in the physical world. We have to, I was going to say solidify our relationships, but not necessarily solidify them. But we have to find our way through the dense physical world before we can let go of it and go into the higher realms of symbols and occult meanings and things like that. You know, because we need to ground ourselves actually in reality before it's safe to let go.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I only visit planet Earth once in a while, you know. But, and also, I like what you said about using the tools, because the tools are brilliant to use, but you've got to be careful that you don't focus on them so much that they undo what you're trying to achieve, and that is to go into the spiritual realm. I mean, for example, candles and incense and everything, and crystals, they're marvelous to use as tools. But when you're going into the spiritual realm, they are merely material things, aren't they? And so they can actually ground you too much to stop you from going there if you're not
right.
careful.
And they're merely just tools to help move you to spirit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm.
Well, it's all within. The magic is within.
That's right. It is.
Very true.
And the magic exists. And we just have to look for it in our lives, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
It's so easy to just get bogged down in your everyday things that you're doing, in this material world, and miss it. And miss a beautiful sunset. I love big sky. Because you can see what's happening. You can see the clouds and the stars and the sun, whatever's in the sky. And
right.
So you can so easily miss all these things that are out there that make it magical, make the world magical.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Anyway, right, so we'll do this video. And, I mean, Nancy said that the song that I wrote a while ago is appropriate for her theme. So I'll just do as a bit of a countdown, and then we can all play the song together. And
okay, and for those of you late into the chat room, I'll go ahead and put the link in again. Just go ahead and click the link and pause the player and mute the sound, and we will, or John Christie in her inimitable fashion will count us down. Here we go.
And you can see the video that Starvexer did. He did a lovely video for it. Okay, so I'll count you down. So 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Press play. Right now it's time to light our candles. We light the candles to signify that we're a healing circle of love and light. And it also signifies the light that we take out into the world to help other people to light their candles if they wish. Also, fire is a very powerful tool which, along with prayer and focused intent, helps us to manifest our goals, which are, as usual, to send love, light and healing out to all mankind all around the world. I've also lit the Nag Shampa, which purifies the atmosphere and makes it pure enough to invite the angelic realm. It also creates positivity. It's very important that we keep positive now that we've gone through it. We're going through the shift still, but we've gone through the doorway of 11-11. So we would like to ask for the assistance of the Archangel Michael. Please be with us now to bring your love and protection in the name of divine truth. In love and light, love and light, love and light. We'd like to ask for the assistance of the Archangel Uriel. Please be with us now to bring your love and upliftment in the name of divine truth. Love and light, love and light, love and light. Thank you. We'd like to ask Archangel Gabriel, please be with us now to bring your love and wisdom in the name of divine truth. Love and light, love and light, love and light. Thank you. And the Archangel Raphael, please be with us now to bring your love and healing in the name of divine truth. Love and light, love and light, love and light. Thank you. The Archangel Metatron, we ask for your assistance now to take our love, light and healing out to all mankind all around the world in divine truth. Love and light, love and light, love and light. Thank you. And we'd like to ask for the assistance of Sananda Jesus and the Magdalene energies. Please be with us now. Thank you. We're in the divine presence of the angelic realm, and we will ask that they close around our circle of love, light and healing, along with our guides, inspirers and guardian angels, to assist us in sending out the healing. And right now we'd like to ask Marika to do the mantra. Thank you, Marika. There are 13 therapists in the chat room.
Dearest Way Showers, I would like to ask you to take a deep breath and focus on your connection with our Mother Earth. become aware of the fact that you're in touch with her, your feet lightly touching her, and become aware of the fact that many feet are touching her right now, in all countries, all over the world. Close your eyes and visualize this with me. We are all standing on her, holding each other's hands. We surround her like a giant wheel with spokes of light coming from our hearts together into the center space that lies deep within our grandmother Earth. As we see her crystal heart, and as we take this deep breath again, we feel the beating of our heart through our bodies, and we all start to slightly move on the melody of her heartbeat as one heart. We feel this energy reaching our heart centers, and our hearts feel so warm, they're overflowing with love, and the energy you can imagine as the purest light flows to the center of the earth. And we become aware of our connection again. And we know we are all related. Mitakoye Oyasin. When the energy reaches our eyes, we feel our heads lifting a tiny bit up, and we see our Father Sky. And when we see beyond Father Sky, we see a giant book floating in space. On the cover of the book is written, Book of Healing Requests, and the book opens. We can write down all names we would like in that book, but the first name you may write down in grace is your own name. Please go ahead and write it in there. Right now, you are a receiver of healing energy, and you may direct this energy to any human being, animal, or plant you want, by writing down the names in the book. You may write them down underneath the healing fountain list that is already in there. I'll give you a little bit of time to write the names down. Please go ahead now. And when all names are written in the book, we see that the book closes and drops slightly down into the center of Mother Earth. Thank you, Mother Earth, for all the love that you give. Feel the gratitude and sit down very comfortable and be surrounded by this energy, and listen to a beautiful meditation from our special guest. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to do meditation a little bit differently tonight. So if you'd like to just sit comfortably and take 4 long deep breaths. Breathing in. Breathing in the love. Breathing out. Breathing out all the frustrations of the day. All your troubles. Just totally relaxing. As you breathe in, focus on the rest in between the breaths. Focus on your breath. It is in the breath that you first connected with your Creator. He was there when you took your very first one. And imagine the most beautiful scenery you've ever seen in your life. See the hills and the grass, the beautiful flowers. See a comfortable chair. Slip off your shoes and walk over to the chair. It's a lovely warm sunny day. Sit down and rest in the chair. You are part of the scene. You are part of all creation. This is your place in the universe. No one can take your place. Now ask your guides to take you to a place where they want to, and think about the signs and symbols that you relate to in your everyday life. We're going to leave you there for a little while, and then we'll come back and get you.
Thank you.
And now as you come back to your seat, you open your eyes, see that you're still in the beautiful surroundings, feeling uplifted, at peace, and as if you've had a good sleep. You feel refreshed. Stand up. Walk over to your shoes and slip your shoes back on. Thank your guides for taking you where you went. And ask them to help you look out for all the signs and symptoms and symbols.
Thank you.
right now it's time to close our chakras for people who prefer to do that. And to do that, we pretend we have doors and we go to the top of our head, closing that door. Then down to the third eye, closing that door. To the throat chakra, closing that door. Then to the heart chakra, closing that door. To the solar plexus, closing that one. Then down to the navel chakra, closing that door. And to the base chakra, closing that one. Down to the feet chakra, leaving that one open, enough to keep us grounded and connected to Mother Earth at all times. We're going to ask the Archangel Michael to put us into a pyramid of purple light as used by the ancient Egyptians for protection. He's taking you by the hand, putting you into the pyramid, sealing it at the top with a blue seal, keeping you safe and protected until next time we meet or until next time you meditate. Thank you, the Archangel Michael. We want to thank the angelic realm for being with us today. We ask that there be an archive for people listening later. And we want to thank Nancy, and we're going to bring Nancy back on now. If anybody wants to call in and ask her any questions, she doesn't mind. But you had other things to say. Did you have a beautiful form, did you say?
I do. I don't know if it's beautiful, but it's expressive.
Lovely. Yes. Lovely, lovely.
Before I get to that, I just have a paragraph that I found on Stuart Wilde's website, and it has to do with feeling. He says, it is so important to quiet yourself enough to discern what is appropriate and what is not. You and only you can tell what is right for you. There are many wizards who proclaim that they have the answer. Beware of them and stay clear of them. Only you have your answers. By that we mean that only you can feel when something is right for you and when it is not. But you cannot feel any of this if you are filled with chatter or you are being run by your fear. This is why we have stressed going within, meditating regularly, or doing whatever it is that allows you that space to listen clearly to what your body is telling you. Feel, feel, feel. Feeling is a physical thing, not an emotion. When something feels off, trust that and don't try to convince yourself otherwise, no matter how persuasive someone else may sound. You are your own authority and you are sovereign beings. You exist solely to be who you are, who and what you came to be, and there is no other person like you or who can know what is right for you. Isn't that nice?
That's lovely. That's perfect.
Beautiful.
That was Stuart Wilde. I'm quite fond of him. So, that's about feeling. And the more we open and feel, the more we can, grasp the inner realms. Because it comes to us through our heart chakra, through our feelings, and not through our thoughts. So anyway, this is... it's a 4D strategy. I'm just going to write that in the chat room because I meant to post this poem, but because it's hearing and as well as seeing. So it's four D, and then it's strata, spelled S-T-R-A-T, strata-T. Okay, see? 4D strategy. Okay, so anyway, this is about occupying the alphabet. Make it your own. Yeah, make it your own. Create words with meaning. It's a 4D strategy. Okay, you are there. You are there where there is no there. And if you're not, then you want to be there. Where? Beyond. Here? No, there. There's where you want to be. Where and there are here. H-E-R-E. Without the W and without the T. We're going beyond polarity. where there is here, and here is there, and we are nowhere special, because it's all special, especially you and me. It's a stretch and a leap, but mostly a belief, knowing that you've made it home. You're already home. You found the light, you found the door, and you pushed and you pushed and you pushed, and you got into a line meant to be. Come with me. C, D, 4D, and E is for eternity, and F stands for four, and G, O, Geo is Earth, and H is Hello Bridge, two verticals and a horizontal, 4H. Step onto the bridge, H. I is for I do, connect to you, H, I, J, J for joyfully. Be joyful, be back or be forward to see through my Maya. That's it.
Wow. Did you write that, Nancy?
Yes, I did.
Oh, amazing.
I meant to post it on my blog so people could see it, but I forgot. I forgot. So you know what?
I'm sitting here shaking my head, blown away. Once again,
amazing,
beautiful.
Well, thank you. But you know, it's about being playful, and about, I mean, when I say occupy the alphabet, you know, these are letters. We can do anything we want with the letters, and you know, you can go to classes, and you can have these instructors who can tell you it can't be like this, it has to be like this, and so on and so forth. But if you make it real, if you make it good. And you can do anything as long as you believe it, you know, and you can tell people. It's about making this world our own, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is.
Claiming it. I totally agree. Yeah, claiming yourself.
And claiming our place in the universe. Yes.
Yeah.
And our sovereignty, as you said earlier.
Yes, our sovereignty.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't know how else to do that except by being a creator of yourself, of your space, of your environment, and just, you know, they call it being powerful, but seeing that you're in charge, we have to play by the rules, certain rules. You know, I have to pay my fees here and there, I have to pay rent, whatever it is we have to pay, but we also are creators of our reality.
Mm. And we're creating our future right now with everything that we say and do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And everything that we are in the moment is just a result of our previous thoughts and actions. So we're not really what we are. What we are is what we were.
I know, and it's all now.
Right.
It's all now. And it's, you know, it's a vibratory field and a field of energies and forces, a magnetic force field. And we are automatically drawn to the situations and circumstances where we will receive the most growth.
That's right. And we chose it, didn't we? I mean, we chose to come here and do that.
Yes, yes. And where the power comes in is our ability to interpret what is happening to us, or what is happening around us, and that's where the signs and symbols come in. They are the key to knowing who we are and what we're here to do and why.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why we need to meditate as well, because it's when we meditate and we hear the still small voice that we get the clear message of what our mission is.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
And also, I liked what you said about living life with joy. You know, be joyful.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you get onto that vibration, you're not feeling any fear. Because it's fear that keeps us grounded. It's fear that keeps us in 3D.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
And there's nothing to fear, because everything that is happening by divine intention.
I know. But the one way to step away from fear is to become the observer and to know that everything you are perceiving here is just information.
Yes, that's right.
Whether you can have a judgment about it or not. You can let go of judgments, let go of attachments, and just see, this is information coming to me.
Mm.
Right. Right. Pull back, get the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Get a larger view of the fractal and realize that we are magnificent manipulators of light, and we do it with our experience. We're here. We're part of the way the universe is becoming aware of itself, and we do that with our experience.
Yes. And also, what's come up for me lately is that when I do have a negative feeling, feel down, or, you know, sometimes I'm up on top of the mountain and then I'm down in the ditch, whatever it is. I forgot what I was going to say. I remember. I'm clearing stuff. I'm clearing stuff away from me, you know, needs or beliefs or whatever it is that's not useful to me anymore. So I can feel sad, and that's not a bad thing. It could mean that I'm just clearing away sadness.
Yeah, because we're like an onion. And we have to peel off all these skins to get down to the core of who we truly are.
Yes.
And sometimes it can be quite a painful thing doing that, because there's old things from your past coming up, and, you know, it can be a very painful experience. But, you know, as long as we just don't get bogged down in all that and just rise above it, I think it's not too bad to cope with.
Right. And sometimes it might even be beneficial to go further, deeper into the wound to clear it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, to see, well, what is that? What is that pain? What is that hurt? Where am I feeling it? And to nail it and then let go.
What I had to do was get a tin with all the little bits and bats in it on my lap. And I pulled all the things out like a piece of cotton wool, and I felt the pain and went back over the experience in my mind. I cried the tears where I had to do. I had to do this on a day when there was nobody going to disturb me. Mm-hmm. And it was a painful thing to do, but I felt so free when I got to the bottom of the tin. It was unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
You just have to face everything and feel the feelings that, you know, are associated with that, and then that's it.
And I can't help but feel that a lot of these emotions that come up and through us are emotions that humanity has felt through lifetimes, and I think that's part of it. We are part, you know, feeling that, what Eckhart Tolle calls the pain body, and just purging ourselves, allowing that up and through us and out. Becoming the conduits, or the hollow bone, as we call it in Lakota, being the hollow bone, allowing the energy through us and out, and then out to be grounded.
And we are connected with Mother Earth, all of us, and look what she's going
and
through
to
at the moment. Yeah, and look what Mother Earth is going through at the moment. So we're bound to be picking up off Mother Earth what is happening out there in the planet.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
And we are inhabitants of her, so we're bound to be feeling that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are, you know, attuned to
it. We're getting a bit deep. Shall we have a break for a lovely song called Enigma?
Okay.
It is an enigma, isn't it? And this one's especially for Gary. Here we go, Gary. One for you. Play that one.
Looking through your heart, my friend, that will be
love that one, Enigma. It's great, that. And we're going to bring Nancy back on before she goes, just to check if she's got anything else that she'd like to share with us before we say goodnight and God bless.
Oh, is that my cue? Yes, well, I have to say that I just realized again how important it is for our sharing, because I hear something or see somebody writing something and it touches something else off in me, and that is why our communication is so vital. Gary, you said something on the show a little while ago. I don't remember what it was, but it touched something off in me, and I just started going off on that tangent in my mind. And and earlier I was thinking about, Gary, when you said you're all me, we're all each other, you know, I'm another you. That's what you said. Mm-hmm. I'm another you. Yeah, and Jean, you know, your song Feel It, when I was, you know, I've been thinking a lot about that lately, and you know, I'm so glad you played that song. I'm so glad you sang it. That's what it's about, feeling it, you know, being here on that level and clearing away the pain and the sorrow, maybe from 10,000 years ago, you know, because it's still here.
One lifetime is enough for me. I don't know about you. One lifetime of pain without going back 10,000 years.
Well, you know, pain is the other side of pleasure.
Yes, it is.
You know, yeah. It's all how you look at it, and it's about feeling.
It's the other end of the same energy. Yeah, right. Exactly.
It is.
Yeah.
And all it is just letting it flow through you.
Hmm. Oh. Well, you've been absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing. Well, in fact,
yes,
you bear your soul,
so
Nancy, don't you?
I do. Oh, I try. What else is there to do?
Oh.
What else?
And
always
I think you're one of the most uplifting guests that we have, because you're so upbeat and you speak with such joy and such, you know, emotion and such passion about everything. It's just wonderful
so
to
true.
Hear you. Yeah.
Oh, that's
yes.
great. Thanks.
Always, always, always a pleasure.
Mm.
Well, thank you.
So I hope you come back soon. Next week we have Megan Webster. And Megan is one of the gifted ones. She's on the sister site to the Gold Ring, which is called the Gifted Ones, and she's only 13 years old.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I know.
And I heard her on a show the other night with Issa Arguello, and she, who has been a guest on our show before. And
yes, she has. Yes.
She's amazing. She really is. I don't know if you've heard her yet, but she's quite amazing for one so young.
And she's a crystal healer, and she sings. And I'm hoping we're going to get her to sing a song, because she's
awesome.
Got such a beautiful, sweet voice. She's incredible. She's really, really good. So next week, that's what's happening. And I'm looking forward to that show as well. But it's been absolutely tremendous tonight. And thank you very much, Nancy, for being with us. And thank you, Gary. I want to thank everybody who's been in the chat room as well, because you all help to create the energy, as do the listeners on the radio as well. Yeah, somebody's put in that Megan is a star child, and she is definitely a star child.
Yes, she is.
So,
yes, and thank you, Nancy. Thank you ever so much for joining us again. And thank you, John Christie. As always, it's a pleasure and honor to co-host with you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Much love and many blessings to all.
And we do have a lovely song to play out with, but before we go, does anybody want to say anything else? We didn't actually get any callers, Nancy, but I think everybody, you explain everything so well, nobody needed to ring in and ask any questions.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you both, Gary and Jean. Thank you again. It was a joy to be here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so getting on with your Christmas shopping, everybody?
Oh, let's not go there.
No, not go there.
Keep it a simple holiday and observe the real deal, which is the winter solstice.
Well, that's true. That's true, but if you've got a few grandchildren waiting for Father Christmas to come, I'm afraid I've got to get out there and trek around the shops, you know. In fact, I might just give them money this year because, you know, I don't like to buy them a jumper and they say, oh, granny bought me that, I'm not wearing that. So, you know, so I might just let them buy what they want this year. They're getting to that age now, you know. So,
well, thank you, John, Christy. And thank you all. I love you all. And
yeah,
thank you, Nancy.
You
much love to you.
Yeah.
We will
love
see you along about next week.
And good night. God bless everyone. And goodbye. God bless everyone else.
Goodbye. No use leading without chance. This is where our story ends. Never lovers, ever friends. Goodbye. Let our hearts call it a day. But before you walk away, I sincerely want to say, I wish you bluebirds in the spring to give your heart a song to sing and then a kiss. But more than this, I wish you love. And in July, a lemonade to cool you in some leafy glades. I wish you health and more than wealth. I wish you love. My breaking heart, and I agree that you and I could never be. So with my best, my very best, I set you free. I wish you shelter from the storm, a cozy fire to keep you warm. But most of all, when snowflakes fall, I wish you